welcome to Test Drive Your Dreams this weekend. And I had a, well, kind of my motivation for figuring this out, this idea of how to try things out, came because I felt a lot like Carrie did, and this is on page one of your document there. But I got this comment on my blog this week from Carrie, and she said, "I've spent 9 years in what was supposed to be a stopgap job because of the dilemma you mentioned here, which was staying in a safe job you hate or leaping into something else." And so one, I think that comes up a lot in our lives. And the next slide, slide two there, is a screenshot from a ad from Fidelity, which is an investment company. And have you seen these ads? It's like the theme is this green arrow that you're supposed to walk on. And this one particular one that I like the best is this kind of middle-aged guy in a little sweater and his little khakis. And he'd been in a meeting with his advisor, and you know, he came out and he's feeling a lot better. And he starts walking on the street, and this little green line appears. And he's supposed to keep on the green line. And so he walks about halfway down the block, and where he's standing there next to those palm trees, when he had turned to his right, right after he'd walked out, he looked through this big plate glass window, and there was this beautiful little sports car there. And when he stopped and he looked at the sports car, he got this really big smile on his face, and he looked really happy. He even stood up a little straighter. But then he looked like a guilty little kid who got caught in a candy jar, and he looked back at this woman who's his financial advisor, and she was like, "Stay on the arrow." And so then he kind of turned back around and just walked back down the street. And the reason that ad sticks with me is because I think it sums up a lot of what we get told about how things are supposed to work. So the things this ad tells me is, one is you got to have a plan, and that you have to wait to do anything fun, and that most of all, it's really difficult to do by yourself. I mean, you have to have this advisor, and you know, if she wasn't there telling you to stay on the line, you would really screw things up. So you should be scared. You know, this is really hard, kind of thing. And what I mean, this is about financial planning, but it also reminds me a lot about just our lives and our careers and how we get to where we are. And so I don't know if you can relate, but when I went to college, you know, we had to pick a major like the first year, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I had to have a plan that I was supposed to know what I wanted to do. And then I got out and I got a job. And then when you get in the job, you're supposed to have a plan for what you want to do with your career. And life just kind of unfolds in these steps of us taking a plan and a step, but still somehow we feel like, we're supposed to know what we're going to do, but we're not doing what we want to do, and we have to put off the fun. So can you relate to that, Lauren?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I found out was, as I started my own kind of journey 4 or 5 years ago and started talking to people who had found their way somehow to doing things in their lives that they really loved to do and that meant a lot to them and that they really had kind of these dream lives, is that those things that they tell you that this, you know, you have to have it all figured out. You have to wait to do the fun stuff and that it's going to be really hard. So you might as well not try anything else. I mean, it's no wonder that we get stuck. But what I found out as I looked into it is that way of doing it is not really how it works. And in fact, it's backwards from the way it worked from these people that I met who did things that changed them from that normal path to something they really loved. And one of the big things that they did was that they got onto this new track, this new path of doing things that they loved, of living their dreams, just by trying things that they loved to do. And they didn't always do it on purpose, or they didn't do it with some, you know, big picture or new mental model in mind. But I realized when I talked to several people that is what they did. So what we're going to talk today is about how you can do that and how you can test drive any dream you want to do in a way that'll fit into your life right now. And so today's call is really going to be about the how part of that. So like if you want to be an astronaut, or you want to be a president, or you want to, you know, be a photographer, whatever it is you want to do, we're going to talk about how you can take anything like that and then turn it into something that you can try out so you start to know what you really like. But there's also – so that's the how part, and that's today. But there's also a why kind of component to that too, is why would you want to test drive these things or try it out? And that's that part about that really is how the easiest way to get on to doing a lot of things that you like to do and making bigger changes in your life is by starting with these smaller things. So that's my ultimate motivation for you, but that's kind of outside the scope of today. But if you go on to the next slide, slide three, if you want to live your dreams, the biggest picture thing that we're going to talk about all day today, the big three things, is that you really want something that you're going to try out. You want it to be free and fast, because a lot of times what you don't have a lot of is extra time or extra money necessarily. And so you need those two things so that you can do something different. And then the third part, which is really the most important part, is that it needs to be something fun, fun as you define it, so that you will go do it. It shouldn't be like doing homework or taking classes or in something that you don't like. So, Lauren, what are some of the things that have gotten in the way of you doing whatever what we're going to talk about later on, I guess, that you want to do?
Mostly, I think, just having difficulty stepping out of what I'm doing day to day and making the time to try something different. It's just, you know, so much easier to go, well, I'll do that later on, and I'll worry about that later, and then later never really comes around, and I'm realizing that there's a lot of things I haven't made time for, even though I'd really like to try them out.
Okay. We'll definitely cover that.
That motivation, that feeling like, you know, it's this huge overwhelming thing and not being able to get past that.
Right. That's right.
As well as not really knowing exactly what I want to do and sitting down and thinking about it that way.
Okay. So not knowing, so yeah, it feels like it's a big enough task to where it gets put off. It's not on your list of things that you got to do anyway, and then maybe you're not quite sure about what you would do anyway. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, I get that. Totally understand that. So I can help you with that today for sure. Okay, so keep in mind, free, fast, and fun. That's easy to remember. And there's one other analogy, too. Go to slide four. And I call this Meg's marketing lesson. Meg's one of my daughters. She's actually the one who was in that newsletter I sent out, if you got that. And when Meg was about six and she started learning how to read, I remember it was one Halloween. And Halloween at our house, I have three daughters. And, you know, we have a neighborhood, and it's kind of a small neighborhood. And so they hit every house, and they come home, you know, with these big buckets full of little candies. And so they'll come back, and the first thing they do is sort out the candies and all the different varieties that they have. And then we have this kind of swapping going on where people pick their favorites and trade them out. And I remember one time when Meg was about, like I said, she was six. She was just learning how to read. And she realized that those small-sized candy bars, do you know what they're called? I guess I have it on here. I'll give it away. But they're called fun size. That's what they call the little tiny kind of bite-sized candies. And I remember Meg was so mad when she found that out. And I was like, okay, that's Meg's first lesson in marketing. She understands spin now about how you talk about things as you give them a new name to make them sound appealing, even though according to Meg, you know, fun size is not fun. So, I think these little fun-sized candies, though, are a great metaphor for the kind of things that we're talking about when we want to test drive our dreams. Because, you know, if you think about free, fast, and fun. So Halloween candies are free for sure. They're fast. They're easy to try out. You take one bite and you eat the whole candy bar. And even though they're not, you know, Meg would say a king size is actually the fun size. They're, you know, it's pretty fun to have a lots of different flavors. And so if you can kind of keep that in mind, and we'll come back to that, but this idea of fun sizing your dreams is really what we're going to work on today, which is like, you know, you don't have to have the king size candy bar in order to start to get a taste for these things that you want to do. Well, let's talk about this idea of experimental living. And this is slide five. And what I mean by experimental living is instead of having a plan and waiting for fun sometime in the future, you know, like you said, you'll do it later on, work it in sometime down the road. It seems too big to deal with now. Experimental living is really about learning by experience. And to me, that ad with the guy with the green line, you know, I really, the idea of having to wait forever for fun and having to have a plan, those certainly get in our way. But I think the worst thing is just that idea that we're kind of helpless and that we can't, that we can't figure out maybe what we really want to do or what we love. That somehow there are some people who know how to do that, and then maybe there are some of us who can just never figure out that. And I think that's a shame. And so this idea of living by doing experiments is a way to get sort of break through that. And, you know, one way to think about this is this, like this photo of this guy, you know, what could you do if you could clone yourself, right? If you could have one person who could go to your job, one person who could do the laundry, one person take care of the kids. If you had seven other people, you know, you could have a bunch of different careers. You could try out anything you wanted to do. You know, I think if you were able to do that, I would assume that you would feel like you, if you tried all those things out, you would know which ones you like and which ones you didn't like. Does that seem fair to assume?
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, I know after a year in a job, I kind of know what I like or don't like about it. So, but of course the problem is, you know, we can't clone ourselves. And so we put off things and we feel like we have to limit ourselves or we have to really pick. And that's kind of where we can get frozen. So, another way to think about that is the next slide. And Leopold's is a ice cream shop that's in Savannah, Georgia. And we went down there last year for a family trip. And we've been out to eat. Savannah's a nice town where you can walk around at night. It was a nice evening. And we wanted to find out a good place to go get dessert. And they said, well, you got to go to Leopold's. And Leopold's is an old family ice cream shop. It's the old time. They make their own ice cream. It's been redone recently, but it had a lot of kind of old memorabilia, and it felt like these old shops. But because they made their own ice cream, they had all these different flavors. And like this little kid in the picture, of course, you could get a sample of whatever flavors that you wanted. So, you know, and if you think back to our free, fast, fun criteria, you know, that little sample is certainly free, and it only takes a second to taste it. And so when we think about trying things out, this experimental living, these little life experiments, it's a lot like when you try out a flavor of ice cream. So one of the ones they had there is this thing called Huckleberry Cheesecake. Now, I never had a Huckleberry. I don't know what that tastes like. And so, of course, if I wanted to try it, I would just say, you know, give me a spoon of it, I'll taste it. And then, you know, I would know whether I liked it or not. But if you think about how a lot of times we approach other things in our life, you know, like, oh, I want to play the trumpet or something, you know, I probably wouldn't just go pick up a trumpet and play it and see if I like it. It would have to be, well, I'll have to research it. Maybe I'll read about trumpets, or I'll go, you know, listen to a jazz band to hear them. And we kind of analyze everything to death. And so this the experimental living is based on the idea that we know, we can tell what we like. And it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, I'm not going to, if I taste a little bit of Huckleberry ice cream right now, I'm going to know in that one spoon whether I generally like it or not. And if I don't like it now, I'm probably not going to like it 5 months from now or a year from now or 10 years from now. I mean, I can kind of write that off. I mean, I might try it later, but odds are pretty good that I'm not going to like it. And, you know, if I play the trumpet, you know, the sound might not be great at first, but I'm going to get a handle on whether I'm liking this just by trying it a few times or whatever, unless my motivation was to be, you know, really good. But if you want to be really good, you have to practice a lot. So if you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to do that as well. So if I, you know, if the scoops ice cream works, that's another way to think about how we can try things out. Okay, so where do you start if you want to break something down? So go to the next slide, number 7. The idea here is that just like all these little dials on here, we all have our kind of internal sense of what we like or not. I mean, I don't often think about it in that way, but what we're going to do is take these things that we try out and we're going to kind of measure them. But the starting point or where to begin is just from a sense of what's fun to you. So you said earlier, you know, that, you know, one of the things is that there's a lot of things you want to do, or you're not quite sure which ones you want to try first. And what I would say is just start with one, which one sounds the most fun based on whatever criteria you have. And it, that's going to be unique to you, just like all these little vials are different colors or shapes. And I call that just your fun-o-meter. You know, how does that rate on your fun-o-meter? If you do something and you try something you like. So, Lauren, just what, for example, what was one of some of the interests that you thought about coming into today?
Traveling and taking photography of the different places that I go to and what I see and the people that I meet.
Okay. All right. Great. So those are great examples, and you've probably done some of both of those, right?
Yeah.
At some level, right? And so so you have a sense that those are things that you enjoy doing in some ways, and maybe you want to do more of them or do it a little bit differently. But one thing that we'll talk about later on is that you can also try things out that sound interesting that you've never done, and the key is just to kind of take note of how did it feel to you? Like if you took a 1 to 10 scale where 1 is surgery with no anesthesia and 10 is ultimate ecstasy, you know, where did that experience fall on your scale? And you'll start to find out that depending on the situation you're in, maybe there's a particular kind of photography you like. And there was some people like to take pictures of flowers. I knew these guys who loved to do buildings, but they hated people. And so it's real personal to us for that. So the phonometer is the thing that's the ultimate test of whether it's something you should keep doing or not. And if it's low on your scale, just like the Huckleberry ice cream, just write it off, and that's a relief too. So the next key to setting up one of these experiments is on the next slide, and that is that that if you really want to try something out, you really need to try it out. And to me, trying it out means that you use one of your senses. So it's something you see, you hear, smell, taste, or touch, but it's not something that you're really thinking about. It's not really using your brain in this case. And the reason for that is that what you're doing when you go out and actually do things is that you're using the sort of creative side of your brain. It taps into your intuition. And so you get a much richer sense of what this means. And I think a lot of people sometimes, a little story about my wife, she really liked houses and had done a lot of helping people find houses and was always kind of looking at houses and neighborhoods and knew a lot about the real estate market. And one of our realtors thought she'd be great at doing that. And so several years back, she thought, oh, that'd be a good career for me. So she went and she took classes. For real estate, you have to take like a year's worth of classes, and she got her license. Then she got in with the brokerage and was working with them for a while. And, you know, she started to build up some clients. And after about 6 months, she had her first close. And it was just a nightmare. And even though it was customers that she knew and she kind of liked, that was the first time she really, really understood what it meant to be a realtor. And what it turned out was that the things about real estate that she really liked were only about maybe 1/10 of what the job was. And the other 90% was, dealing with people who are really stressed out and other things that she really didn't like to do. And so what she found by doing it was that probably wasn't a good fit for her, even though there's a part of it that she liked to do and maybe could do in a different way. And so what this testing allows you to do is to go out and try things, maybe try photography in a different way, try a different kind of travel, or try travel in different ways, and start to really hone in on what parts of it are really good for you and be specific. Okay, so those are two concepts to start out, the phonometer and using your senses. So those make sense so far, Laura?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted.
Okay, that's what I figured. so does that make sense so far?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk then about how to make it easy, which is another important part. This is slide 9 on here. And so I started doing these little life experiments myself. And a few years ago, I was doing a lot of different things, trying to sort out what I wanted to do next career-wise and life-wise. And so I had this list of areas I was interested in, and I had I kind of put it into 5 big buckets. Travel and photography are 2 of mine. And I had this other one that I kind of put into a bucket that I called fashion. And what I had been thinking about relative to fashion was that it would be really neat to have my own sort of line of clothes, like the shirts with the alligators on them or whatever, but to have something that was my own brand, I thought that would be neat. And, you know, I didn't know. I guess in my mind I thought, okay, probably there's a way to get people in China to make shirts for you, and I could hire a designer to design a logo, but then how am I going to sell it? You know, and it got big and complicated really quickly, and I didn't do anything with it. But then I started trying to do more of these little experiments, and I kind of got into them. And there was one night I was over at the mall about 10 minutes from my house, and I was walking down outside the Gap next to the Banana Republic, and there was this little guy who had a kiosk there. And what he does is he monograms bags. So he sells little diaper bags, and he'll put your initials on them, or a hat with your fraternity or sorority. And so he had this little machine that had like every color you could think of, a thread. And I just struck up a conversation with him and asked him, I said, hey, could I do a design and bring a shirt in here and have you stitch it onto a shirt? And he was like, sure. And it turned out it was a little more complicated than that. And I had to, the software I had didn't work. And so he helped me back and forth a couple of times. So I came up with this little silver monkey that you're seeing right here on the shirt. And so, so I designed the little logo. I took it to the guy. He made my shirt for me. And then I figured out that, you know, I really didn't want to do that. But, you know, that got it out of my system. And it cost me, I think, it was like $3 to get the logo converted. The guy didn't even charge me because he liked talking to me. And I think I bought the shirt at Target or something. So the whole thing maybe was $20 all in. And I had a lot of fun and I learned it. But I realized, you know, I really don't want to go out and design a logo. And I certainly don't want to go source it in China or do anything else. And that was another learning point for me too, was there's really no failures when you do an experiment, especially when you're doing things that aren't really risking a lot of your time or your money, and that you can treat them truly like scientists treat an experiment. And what a scientist does with an experiment is he has a hypothesis of how something's going to work. He sets up the experiment to test the hypothesis, and he either gets a result that agrees with it or disagrees with it. And so we would call that a success or a failure. But it's not a failure to the scientist if it disagrees, because it just teaches him more. And then he readjusts his hypothesis. That's our fifth grade science scientific method. But so for these experiments, it's the same idea, though, is you know you want to try some things that are different. And the main thing is you want to try them, but you want to make them, you know, fun enough, small enough, fast, fun, free, so that you don't, that it's not a big deal when they don't work out. And in fact, the more that don't work out, in a lot of ways, that's kind of a relief. Because if you're like me, Lauren, I mean, there's this big old long list of things I wanted to try. And sometimes it was so overwhelming that I didn't start on any of them. And what I've realized as I've done more of them is that some of them I can do once, and I don't really like them that much. They're like the Huckleberry cheesecake ice cream. And I just move on, but I don't worry about it anymore. I kind of know that's something I don't like, and I don't have to think about that anymore, and I'll just do more with the ones that do work out. So that's the other idea. So there's no real failures when you do this. You're going to learn something from whatever you do. So keep it small and keep it fun so you're enjoying it, and then you can try it. So the other part of making it easy, this is slide 10, is that that the more specific you can make your dream that you want to try out, the easier it is to find a way to do it. And an example of this one is I'm doing a class like this a few months ago, and I gave an example of that I would love to work with Annie Leibovitz, who's a famous portrait photographer. And I was using an example of, okay, how the heck am I ever going to work with Annie Leibovitz? And so what I did was I said, well, what is it about that, working with her? What does that mean to me? And so I broke it down and made it a little more specific. And as I talked about it and thought about it, what I realized is there were several parts to that. And one was it wasn't so much her in particular, but it was about portrait photography. So I knew I wanted to take pictures of people. And what I realized when I thought about working with her or working with any professional, that it was more really about learning how they interact with their subjects when they're taking a picture. So how do you have a person there sitting for a portrait, and how do you get them to look the way you want them to look, or pull that expression out of them that you want to get that makes her work so good? And so it wasn't so much that I physically wanted to be with her, or that, you know, some people might want to work with her because she goes to, you know, Paris to take pictures, and she's around movie stars. But that wasn't it for me. So for me, it wasn't really about her so much as it was that I wanted to be around somebody who did good work, and I wanted to work with people. So once I broke those two things down, then it was a lot easier to find a way to try it out. And so what I ended up doing on that in that case is I realized that what I really that I could probably find videos of her and other professionals working with their models online, and it turned out that that was pretty easy to do. I used Google and a couple of photography blogs. And so I just spent some time and I watched a couple of those videos to see how they approach people and how they work with them. And I got a few ideas from that. And then I decided what to do was I'll just go over on a lunch break one day and I will go to the mall and I'm going to take pictures of people I meet at the mall. And so I had an idea and I went over to do that. And then I tried it out, but it was the process of taking it and making it specific like that to let me actually get everything I wanted to get out of working with Annie Leibovitz, but in a way that was, you know, again, it was free and I was able to work it in with everything else I had going on at the time. And then when I got done and did it, I realized that there were parts of that that weren't like they thought I was going to be. I actually didn't like taking pictures of people who are strangers as much as I do taking pictures of people I know. And I felt a little forced, but that I did like getting to know the people that I talked to. And so that was good. So I broke it out and found parts of it that on my phonometer, there were parts of it that were like an 8 and there was parts of it that were like a 2. And so I'd been thinking about this idea of doing street photography for a long time. But now that I realize I don't really like that interaction with people so much, I'm going to write that off. And when I think about my photography, I'm actually going to go and either try to work with people that I know already or find models who will sit for me where it's a real clear up front what we're doing and why, and I don't have to get over that hurdle with somebody of being uncomfortable when you meet them. And so that was a big revelation to me on something that I thought that I would like to do for maybe 10 years or more. So, so Lauren, what's your reaction to that idea? I just told you a lot of stuff there.
It's very interesting, especially because it relates so closely to one of the things that I am interested in. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, how on earth would you get past the, for me, going to a mall and taking pictures of strangers would just be way too much. I wouldn't be able to get past that. And so I'm thinking, you know, I think everybody has certain comfort zones, and getting outside of them to try something new is probably the most difficult part. And I'm just curious, are you comfortable with going up to strangers, or was that something that was difficult to kind of get past and sort of had to work on that, or are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really comfortable meeting strangers, actually, and so I like doing that. So that's why for me that was – I think that's probably why I had thought about doing that kind of photography. And so I definitely think that there's no reason for you to try stuff that you're not comfortable doing. I think that if you're not comfortable, there's probably a good reason why you're not comfortable. And so there is like even when I tried things that I really like to do, there's always a moment in there somewhere where I got scared. And when I was at the mall, even though I'm comfortable talking to people, it was funny because I've done a lot of things like this, but even just the fact that I was going to go try this out, I really did get kind of butterflies in my stomach when I was going to do it. But I just kind of told myself, I'm just going to try this out. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter if it works or not. And then that kind of got me over the hump. But in general, if you know, your photography probably means a lot different, something different to you than it would to me. And so you'd want to find something that was a more of a, you know, to play into whatever it is you want to do. And then if you're just nervous about doing something, there's always fear that you have to work around. But if it's something that's just not in your nature, don't bother. You know what I mean? That's not going to change. Does that help?
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were saying that probably a good thing to do would be to look at what exactly is it that's, you know, making you uncomfortable, and is it something that, you know, maybe you can step back and do smaller pieces of it. So, you know, if it's because I don't feel that I know enough about the photography piece of it. So if there's some task that I can do that'll help me feel a little bit more prepared, then, you know, I can sort of work up to it. So maybe being uncomfortable means that I haven't broken it down into a small enough step yet.
Yeah, exactly.
If I can't figure that out, then maybe it is just not a good fit for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there's always a way to make it something that is small enough to where it gets below that level of, okay, this is really not a big deal for me to do. And that's a good place to start, you know, because if you do that thing that's not a big deal and you're really kind of like, that wasn't that fun, then you don't have to do anymore. And you never had to do the scary thing. But if you really like doing it, that gives you a little more confidence, a little more motivation maybe to take the next step up from that. So that's a really great point. Well, okay, well, let's go on to the next slide. This is slide 11, and this is the one of the other two PDF files, that Fun Size Dream worksheet. So if you want to open that up, I don't know, this is one actually, if you have a way to print it.
Yep, I actually already printed it off.
Okay, perfect. So what I wanted to do, and we can just do this together since it's just you and me. So this is kind of a tool that you can use to break down your dreams into something you can do. And so the idea is just start with anything you want to do, and really anything. You know, it can be something I saw on TV yesterday down to some dream you've had since you were a kid. You know, just start anywhere. Because if it's something that stuck with you and if it's something that grabs your attention, then it's worth putting on there. It's worth noting. Because even though a lot of times we think that everybody loves what we do, I've found that that's not true. and sometimes the hardest part is just remembering the things that you like. So start with anything you're interested in. So do you want to do the photography as an example? Is that, or travel? It doesn't matter.
Actually, I was just thinking of another one that might be better because it's one that I haven't really thought so much about and haven't done really anything.
Okay, perfect. Okay, what's that?
Becoming fluent in a foreign language.
Okay. So that's your dream. So one dream is becoming fluent in a foreign language. Okay, so that's a great dream, a great goal, a great starting place. And I can see how it fits in your travel already. I can see, starting to get a picture of Lauren. So the next step is, you know, when you think about being fluent in a foreign language, what sounds fun to you about that? So, and what you want to do is just think of, you can think of as many as you want, but for now I have three on here. So just try to think of three things would be fun for you.
One would be understanding what people are saying about me when they think I don't know the language.
Okay. That's cool. So understanding, be able to understand and communicate maybe with other people.
I think when you really immerse yourself in learning another language, you learn a lot about the culture and about the way that people think, and I think that would be really interesting to know.
Okay. How about one more?
I really like learning things just in general.
Uh-huh.
So that in itself is fun for me.
Okay. Great. Okay. So there's three now. So so what you do now is you got you basically have three more interests now. This is the sneaky part about this is actually everything on the sheet when you get done is something that you can experiment with. So the three things I wrote down were understanding other people so you can communicate with them, learning about cultures and how other people think in other countries, and then just the process of learning something new. So that's the starting point, and that's one quick example for you, and we can do some more too with you. I was going to do some brainstorming at the end, so that's one quick example of how you start to break down a dream into little chunks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so what you could do now is say, okay, well, what are some ways, you could either break these down more if you wanted to. You could say, you know, understanding what other people say, I think that's pretty clear cut with the foreign language piece. But, you know, there are other ways to learn about other cultures and how people think. That ties into your travel too, clearly. And then learning something new, you might spark some other ideas off of that come up. And you can try putting them together or doing them separately. So, okay. All right. So what we're going to do now is talk about how do you try them out. So you've got these ideas. You've got become fluent in foreign language. There are some ways you can do that. But even more importantly, you want to know it so that you can understand other people, it sounds like, and get to know other people and get to know how they are different maybe than how you are or how their lives are different because of that. That sounds right?
Yep.
So what the other way to go about doing this, you just sort of brainstorm those three things. The other fun way to do this, if you go to number 12, is now we're talking about how do you try out these things. And so one thing I do sometimes is if I have a new interest or something that I don't know much about is just go to Google and you can just put in learn foreign language or, you know, fluent foreign language and just see what pops up and just look for on that first few pages of Google results. You can just see what's on there and just see what catches your eye. And that might spark some interest of what that means to you. So that's one way. Another way you can try out these kind of experiences. So say you wanted to let's learn about culture and how other people think. One way you could do that is go to a meetup. Do you know about meetup.com? I think they have groups over in the UK.
I'm not really that familiar with that.
They have it. It's a website. You should check it out. It's what it is, basically a place where people form groups that meet in different cities, and they form around different interest areas. So I know here in Charlotte, they have a world travelers meetup group that has dinner at a different restaurant every month and is planning some trips. There's also a place here called International House, and they meet up, I think, once a week, and you can go and just speak a foreign language with they at least have French, German, and Spanish here. And so they have native speakers who want to work on their English, and you can work on your foreign language. So those are places that you can find that where you can actually go just take a night or maybe grab a buddy to go with you if you're uncomfortable going somewhere new. And you can go meet people from another culture over a dinner or something and just ask some questions and find out about them. And then another thing you can do too, another great kind of place to dig into this is places where other people who like what you like hang out. And so in this category, one place you might go is like a travel shop or a luggage store or something, or if you're an outdoors person, there's a place here called Great Outdoor Provision Company. And if one of my dreams was to go whitewater rafting or hiking, that'd be a place where I go where I could be pretty sure there'd be somebody working there who was also really into that. And it'd be somebody I could go talk to get ideas about things that are going on this weekend or groups that go hiking together or places where I can rent a whitewater, you know, raft or something to do. So those are all kind of like places to look for opportunities, I guess. Okay. So, let's do this. Yeah. Okay. Let me hold it. I'm going to tell you a couple more things that are just kind of like the tools you can use later on to take away. And then we'll come back and we'll work on some of your ideas again a little bit more. So the next page is one thing you could do is say, okay, I've got, maybe you decide this month, we're going to just to play this out. I'm going to go to the, World Travelers group, in my town. And, or I'm going to talk to somebody who runs the Spanish restaurant or who's from Spain or something. And so my husband and I are going to go over there and I just want to chat and ask him some questions about what it's like in his country. So that's this idea of, and the thing you'd be doing is saying, okay, I'm going to go do this. And you're just going to go and you're just going to do it. And then when you get home or afterwards, you're just going to write down, how was that? You know, was that man, I'm so excited now. And the real key is like, if you come back from something that you did and you're kind of fired up and energetic and excited, that's a real clue that it's something that's part of your core, the things that you're sort of made to do. So if that makes you excited, that's great. And then you may have an experience like I did when I went to the mall and took pictures where, you know, part of it was fun, but part of it really wasn't that fun. So you'll learn something either way. So that's this kind of idea that you can really plan out and test drive something this weekend that you really want to do. Now, the other way that sometimes can give you even more fun ways to try things out is more of a spontaneous approach to these fun size experiments. And this is slide 13. And this is the other PDF I gave you. That's the someday list. Okay. And so this little piece I have here on slide 13 is actually, those are real for me. Those are ones that are on my list of things today. And I keep this list of things. And I started doing it several years ago. And the idea is that whenever you have an idea of anything that catches your eye that sounds fun, I just write it down. And I stick it on this list. And then I don't have to do anything else. So my only commitment to myself is that I'm going to put this thing on this list. And so, and again, it could be anything. You know, I don't know, I saw some, for me, it might be like this DJ turntable thing that looked fun. So I'll put that on a list someday. I want to do that, you know. And I just build this list, and it does a bunch of things for me. The reason I started doing was it kind of, I had this feeling that I had so many things I wanted to do and I was never going to get to them. And this gave me a way to put them somewhere so that I knew that I wouldn't forget them. And at some level that made me calmer. So I knew that they're going to be there. And if, when I have time to do them, I'll have them there. And that was fun. But then what I found out was when I had them on this list, I realized that they just started happening somehow. And I think this process of actually taking the time to stop about it and write it down, somehow that puts it deeper into your subconscious and that you're just more open to seeing it. So what I suggest is that you, maybe you sit down with a cup of coffee one day and just have fun writing out lots of things you wanted to try as a starting point. And then just, you know, every month or so I go back and look at it when I'm doing something else and just kind of see. What happened to me, so this one that I have checked off here, this Learn Evasive Driving. So I've seen these movies, you know, with The Bourne Identity or James Bond or something, and they'll be in a tight alleyway, and then they can somehow back the car up and spin it around and drive off real fast. And I always thought, hey, it'd be really fun to know how to do something like that in a car, even if I never really used it. And so at one point I'd gone and looked, and there are driving schools where you can do it, but it was really expensive, and I was like, I just want to learn this one thing. And so again, I hadn't done anything. And I happened to be talking to a friend of mine at lunch one day, and that came up somehow. And she said, well, you know, you could probably just rent a car and go do it. You know, why don't you just use a rental car and go try it yourself? And then I realized I could probably go to look on YouTube, and they might have people who show you how to do it. And it turns out, sure enough, there are all these crazy teenagers who can show you how to do anything you want to do in your car. And that thing I wanted to do wasn't hard. So I'd watched that on YouTube, and I kind of had it in my idea. And on a business trip later on, a friend of mine and I ended up having about 3 hours to kill before our flight. And we had a car, and it was after hours, and we found a parking lot. And we did this for about a half an hour. It was a blast. And so I rated it there. It was 8 out of 10. It was a lot of fun. And it reminded me how much fun I liked just driving a car. And so it led to me doing another little experiment, which was one Friday afternoon. I said, hey, you know, it'd be fun to go test drive a nice sports car. So I went to the dealership, and he was bored. And so we took a long drive out in the hills in this car, you know. So that's one that's still bubbling on my list somehow, this driving thing. I don't know where it'll go. But that was one that was a real success for me. So, and it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't written it down and just kind of had it there. And so that just kind of spontaneously came up through a conversation and then just an opportunity that presented itself with me and this friend of mine when we happened to have a car. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
And I've had a lot of things like this. I used to travel a lot for work, and what I started doing when I had this list was looking at the list every so often and figuring out what sorts of things were different countries known for. And so I did a lot of hunting around in Japanese paper shops and a lot of other fun things while I was in different places. And those are things I would have done if I hadn't taken the time to write down some of these things that I wanted to do. Okay. And then the next slide 14, is this is a fun, just a little trick to automate your someday list. And I've got a couple of just search terms that I've set up alerts for. And a lot of times if you're looking at some area you don't know much about, say, you know, I don't know, hang gliding or something, you can type a, you can do this thing. And I kind of, it start, the top screen is the first thing. And then if you go to, then you click on that even more button and then you click on alerts and you'll come up with this little box. And basically you just put in whatever you would search for and then put in your email address. And then once a day you get an email from Google with just a Google search on whatever came up that day on your search term. So hang gliding. And it does a couple of things for me. If it's something I'm really interested in, it pops up once a day. And even if I just delete the email, I see hang gliding. And so it's being, you know, reminding me every day about it. And then when I do have some time, or if I'm bored and I want to do something, I can click on it, and I'll have a ready-made list when I have time there to go exploring on things about hang gliding. So that's like another trick that doesn't even take as much work as writing stuff down on the someday list. All right. So let's go back now, and why don't we work a little bit more on one of yours and try to come up with some way you can try one of your interests out. Okay, so what is there anyone in particular you want to talk about?
Let's see. Let me get my list here and see if there's one that I think I could use a little more help with. I mean, I think probably going back to the photography thing, one of the specific things I'm interested in is learning how to take candid photographs of strangers, so kind of the opposite of what you found you were interested in.
Yeah, right, okay.
How do you start to find out, well, how do you do that? How do you approach people? How do I learn basically about candid portraits?
Okay, so So let's see. Well, let's do like we did. Let's say what. So what? You know, if you think about taking candid portraits, what is that? What's in your mind when you think about doing that?
I think of, for example, like in National Geographic, when you'll see photographs of, you know, people in a country just sort of doing their everyday thing, and it's just catching them in the middle of something where it's, you know, not planned, and I think it shows. To me, it seems like it shows things about that person that they might not have seen about themselves. And if you were doing it more formally, you wouldn't get that kind of feel for their personality.
Yeah. So you're really talking about like documentary-style photography.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. And so it's mostly about it sounds like to you that it's more about the aspects of capturing a moment than it is about necessarily the technical aspects of a camera or how to use a camera or those sorts of things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that comes in a whole other area, but for the time being, I'm more interested in the.
Yeah. Which is interesting. You know, there's a lot of people who are just like, they just love talking about f-stops and the latest cameras, you know, and that's all I really like about it. So it's everybody's different. Okay. Well, so what, let's think about a simple, fun way to do this. So you're American and you live in Wales. That's one thing, right? You're already kind of in a foreign culture. So one way to do that would be, you know, to pick a group that maybe you already know people of that would be willing you to take pictures of them. Another way would be to go, sometimes I've seen people work with really long lenses where you can be a long way away, like a big F number lens. And you're less kind of obvious about it. You can just take pictures of strangers, and you could do that. I know some people would do that at like parades and things, where the people already are expecting to be out in the public, and you can capture people who are distracted by other things. Let's see. How do those sound? React to those.
I think that's a good idea. I'm thinking along the lines of experiences of things that I've noticed are commonplace here that are, you know, not common where we lived in the States. And so that would be kind of an interesting thing because it would already be unusual and interesting to me, but it would be, you know, no big deal for the people who do it all the time. I'm trying to think, you know, the holiday season, every reasonably sized town seems to have this big fair where they've got rides set up in the city center, and, you know, there's this giant Ferris wheel down the road from us and all these other carnival things going on in the middle of winter, which is just kind of different. And the way they have pictures with Santa. Santa is in this little, like, grotto cave kind of thing that's, you know, very different from what I'm used to. And so that, to me, seems like a great place to start. And, again, people are out in public, and, you know, it would be a fairly easy thing to just take some candid pictures of people going around and you know, enjoying the festival.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that the festival too, because there's so much going on visually and people all around, people are kind of distracted and they're more likely to be just how they are. They're not going to be posing or doing something funny. I think it would be easy for, you know, people just how they look. And so if you were to do something like that, then, you know, in my experience, since I do photography too, a lot of times I'll have like an image due, and the first time I go do it, it always looks terrible. You know, it's the part of the learning process, get people's work, and you kind of want to make the Ansel Adams picture of the rock, and you go take it, and you realize how much you have to learn. And so one of the things, just paying attention to the whole experience, you know, not just the output of the experience. So, you know, are you enjoying yourself while you're doing it? You know, is it fun to be there watching the people and to frame up the pictures? Is it fun looking for things to take pictures of, you know, or are some of those not fun? So the key to all of this is like, what's it like when you're doing it? You know, not so much what is the output, but what's the process like? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. You know, I'm kind of thinking of some examples where it was fun until I got to, there was a technical aspect of it that I didn't know, and it was frustrating to me because I had this great opportunity to take a picture, but I couldn't figure out how to get the camera to do what I wanted it to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about it now, and the idea I have as we're talking is just taking what that technical thing, it happened to be taking a photograph. There was a hawk diving down and catching things in the grass and having a very fast action shot and being able to capture that without it being blurry. And I couldn't get it to work. So maybe just going out one day, and that's what I'm going to do of whatever. It doesn't really matter what I'm taking the picture of. It's more of getting comfortable with how to do that particular technical aspect of it. And then the next time the opportunity comes up, hopefully that won't be the frustrating thing for me, because I'll have gotten more comfortable.
Yeah, and the main thing is you want to know, like, so when you took a picture of that hawk, I mean, were you – it sounds like you were having fun when you were doing it. And it was all great, except for the fact that the picture didn't look like you wanted it to look.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's perfect. I mean, that's the kind of thing, like if you go to the fair and you shoot the people and you're loving it and everything's great, and then you get the pictures and they don't look quite like you wanted to, that's a success. You know, as long as you felt like it was a 7 or above on your internal scale, that's great. And that just means that, yeah, you're motivated now to go do what you need to do to learn how to take the picture of the hawk faster, so that next time you're going to get to take that even next step of, yeah, I loved it, and then I have this thing I can look at that I love afterwards. So, and I think that's how it works, is that now if you'd gone to take the hawk and you really just wanted the picture, but, oh, God, it was hot out there, and, you know, I had to watch forever, and then there's just a dumb hawk dropping. You know, if you felt like that about it, then you're like, okay, that's probably not what you want to do. Do you see the distinction between them?
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's a technical issue but you're having fun anyway, then that's probably something that you can work on and you'll be motivated to work on it, where if you're miserable the whole time, that probably isn't going to change whether you get more technically savvy or not.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you can start to make those distinctions between what was it that bugged me and was it really the whole thing or was just part of it, that lets you then find other ways to do the parts that you really like. So like maybe you just find somebody who's really good technically to teach you how to do it, you know, or get a new camera. There are a lot of ways to fix that part you don't like so that you get to do what you do like, which is, sounds like it's the seeing and the seeing a moment and then capturing it, you know, that you like doing that.
I'm kind of curious how, you know, some of the things that are interesting to me, I like how some of my photos turn out, but I'm hesitant to get feedback because what if they're not really as good as I think they are? Do you have any recommendations for how you sort of get yourself past that, I've got to do it perfectly or it's not worth doing feeling?
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's, so, for example, maybe your photography or something, or is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a thing. That's a real touchy thing, right? Is that the how do you get the feedback? And like the wrong kind of feedback too soon can really quash a good dream. You know, something that you really do love. Like if you were really enjoying doing something, and just because you haven't done it enough, you're not that good yet, and you show somebody and they say, "Oh, that's terrible." I mean, I've certainly definitely had that experience before. And so what I've found that is most useful in those situations is to pick carefully who you get feedback from. You know, make sure it's the kind of person who can give you feedback in a way that you can handle it, that you're ready for. Because as you get better at something, you're going to be more confident in your abilities anyway. And so it'll be easier to take more and more harsh criticism, I think. Depending on your personality, I guess, too. But so think about who you ask, and don't ask people that you know are going to be kind of rude. Just because even if you get feedback, it's probably not worth the collateral damage you're going to get. So that's one thing. And then the other thing to think about is, why are you asking for the feedback? And so what is it that you want to know? It might be because you want to improve on something. It might be because, you know, it might be just because you're excited about it and you just want to share that you're excited about it with somebody, which is great too. And you want to find a friend to do that with. But it might be because you took the picture of the hawk and it's blurry and you want it to be sharp. And so what for me helps me get better feedback in a way that's helpful to me and that's not harmful to my tender little dream at this point is to say, you know, before I go talk to them, this is what I want to find out. So I have this picture of a hawk. It's blurry and I want to know how to take it when it's not blurry. And so when you go to somebody who's really good and ask them that question, then they're going to be able to go, oh yeah, okay, so how did you take it? You know, what did you have? Let me see your camera. What did you have it set on? You know, if you want to catch a hawk, you're probably going to need a shutter speed of X or whatever. And they're going to give you that technical feedback. But if you just go show a picture to them of the hawk that's blurry and say, what do you think? Then they might say, well, you know, your composition's really off. You know, I don't really understand what you're trying to do here. Who's it for? And you might get a lot of feedback about stuff that wasn't really the point, but that might also kind of, you know, take the air out of your balloon. So, so to me, that does that help?
Yeah, that does. And I think, you know, probably the biggest thing I'm struggling with is, okay, I can write down all these dreams, but that I've got this feeling, well, if I share them with anybody, they're just going to laugh and go, you've got to be kidding. You can't really do that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally get that. And then there's one other thing. When I have my book done in a few months, I can send it to you. But the other thing is a lot of times the people who are going to help you with these dreams you have aren't the people who are your family and friends now. They're going to be people you haven't met yet. And so one of the good things about trying out these little safe test drives or fun experiments is that they also introduce you to people who also are really into what you like. And what I found is that, you know, when I got into photography, after I'd done it for a while, I met somebody and I found this group of professional photographers who meet once a month, and I started going to their group. And I was really nervous when I went up front, and so I didn't want to say anything, and I probably didn't say anything for the first few times, but I realized that they were really friendly, and they were so much into photography that they really wanted to, they just loved talking about it, and they were all different levels, and they didn't care where you were, and so I was sort of with my new tribe of people who got what I got, you know what I mean? They understood why I liked photography, and they had all been where I'd been before, you know, and they could relate, and they weren't somebody else who had never done it before who had other motives or something for why I wouldn't do it. And so finding that new, those new tribes ultimately will help you with that. But you can start to do that now by like finding there are like Yahoo groups of people who like different things, and there are people who run blogs who like things. And so you could just start following some of those and not even participate necessarily, but just kind of, I don't know, it's like a virtual support group of people until you're ready to go public with the thing that you're working on. And those are people too, you can ask for ideas of how to try things out. And those are safe people. Because you know, the people you know now, they know you the way you are now, right? They don't know this great person you're going to be. And so they don't always understand what you're going to become until you've done it. So.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I like the reminder that the people who are, you know, even the professionals had to start out somewhere. They weren't just magically where they are now. They had to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing about being a born talent or something is really a myth too. I mean, there's a good book by, do you know Malcolm Gladwell? He wrote a book called The Tipping Point. He's got a book out that came out. It's called Outliers. And one of the main theses of that book was that even people who are born gifted athletes like a Tiger Woods or even Mozart, yeah, they really loved what they did, but they also put in more hours than anybody else, and that everybody has to go through all those learning phases. And it's more the passion and the willingness to focus that gets them there than it is any kind of that's the bigger factor than the fact that they have a particular gift for it. So I think most people who have done what you're going to do have been there before and can relate. But you always get those people too who are just insecure and want to put you down and make themselves feel better too. So sometimes, you know, you have to go home and lick your wounds and then, you know, get over that and then start over again. I mean, that happens too, for sure.
You just learn next time you don't tell them.
Yeah, exactly. And just don't tell them anymore. Right, right. And then just put it on your Sunday list and just don't lose it. You know, that's the main thing, is don't lose them, because your chances will come around to do these things. And the main thing is just to, My thing is just try everything you can and pay attention, and you'll find you'll start to see patterns emerging in your different areas. Like for me, the reason I'm doing this work I'm doing with these classes and the book and everything is that I really love helping people figure out what's unique about them. And when I do photography, the thing I like to do is, sounds like kind of like you, I like to take portraits of people that really capture their personality, more so than a staged portrait that looks great. I just want to capture one that has their little smile or that look they give, and which is also kind of about the same thing when you think about it, but I didn't really realize that until I'd done a lot of other things. So what I found is that the more things I do, the better I understand the kind of threads that run between all of them, and that's another kind of side benefit of doing all this stuff, which then makes it easier to find even more things that I will probably like doing because of that. Well, is there anything else that you're thinking about, or I'm happy to talk some more.
yeah, gosh, I feel so special. I got you all to myself, basically. Yeah, I think it's just getting past that feeling like it's overwhelming and just realizing that, you know, you can try something out and it's okay if it doesn't work. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to sit here and think it to death to make sure that you're going to like it before you try it. And I think that's probably where, you know, I've been getting myself, that's been my excuse as well. I don't know if I'm going to like it. I need to figure out by, you know, thinking about it more if I'm going to like
yeah.
it. I'll just go and go, oh, all right, that was fine, now I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, just taste the huckleberry ice cream, you know, just do it, you know. And really, like, find a 15-minute way to do it at home on the internet, you know, anything, any interest. Like, if you wanted to, you know, go look up, just type in documentary photography into Google and spend some time looking at some pictures that really move you. Or, you know, or find a site maybe that gives you ideas about how to do it. And then just just take your little point and shoot camera, whatever the simplest camera you have with you, and go down. When you're at the fair, just say, okay, I'm going to take 3 pictures tonight and see how it goes, you know, and just keep it super simple. Maybe even delete the pictures. You're not going to look at them later or something, but just see how it feels. And it's amazing how if you just start to do that, how fast you'll find fun things that you never even knew about. I mean, that's the real payoff, is that you start to see new opportunities, you meet new people, and just things you never knew were there because you weren't with this new tribe of people or doing the stuff you loved. So it really is powerful. It's surprisingly powerful.
Yeah, I'm thinking about in my work situation, I've had a lot of changes that have caused me to be doing things that I've realized I don't like. And it's just kind of looking back on it now is that I've learned more about what I do enjoy, having been forced to do things I don't like. And so I can sort of see where trying things out and having them fail could probably be even more beneficial than finding the ones that succeed, because it helps you eliminate and focus on, you know, okay, that wasn't it. Great. Now I don't have to, you know, worry about that one anymore. I can go on to the next one and see how that
right. Goes. And it gives you the courage or convictions to say to somebody, like, you know, when the opportunity comes up to do something different at work, maybe you get to change things a little bit, to say, you know what, I did that. I don't really like doing it, so I'm not that good at it, but I love doing this other thing that I really am good at, and I've done them both, you know, and now you know that. And so you can do it, or somebody invites you to go on a trip. You know, one of the things I've learned about myself is kind of, I don't know if it's embarrassing, but, you know, guys are supposed to be real handy and love to work on things and work in the yard. And I hate working in the yard. I hate doing anything that's repetitive manual labor. And I'm finally at a point where when volunteer things come up and say, yeah, I'll help you with a lot of things, but I am not going to be the guy raking the leaves or moving boxes. And I'm okay with that now, because I know I'm never going to like it. And there are other ways I could contribute that I would actually enjoy doing too. So it is powerful when you know, yeah, I'm never going to like this. That's okay.
And strangely, there's people who love it, so let them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so and you're taking away a chance for somebody else to do something that they like when you're doing something you don't like, so it's like a double whammy.
So I'm kind of excited about it. Actually, sit down and really spend some time just writing down, you know, just anything that comes to mind, because I don't think I've really ever sat down and just said, well, you know, what are some things I'd like to try? It's always been, you know, kind of just in my head. And not really formalizing it. So I'm kind of excited about taking a look at that and figuring out what are some fun things I can start doing and not focus so much necessarily on, like, the ultimate long-term goals, but just having the fun process as I go along.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely. That's it. So, and the thing is, if you try to sit down and think about the long thing right now, you're going to limit yourself to what you know already. And part of why you're having a hard time doing it is because you don't, in some part of you knows that's not enough for you. And what you'll find as you get more into just doing things and trying things is that you'll come across things that end up being way better than anything that today in 2009 here, you just don't know it yet. You haven't met the person, you haven't seen the opportunity, you haven't come across it. And that'll come, but it only comes by doing some other things first. And so that's how the people I met have interviewed who got on to having these great lives late in their lives got there, was they just started doing things that they just enjoy to do, and that led them naturally to other things. So.
Yeah,